And his muscles were smaller than they are now. And he's now a father and a rugby player. But as well as doing those two things, Werner is pastoring the Shofar congregation in Secunda, which is somewhere in the north of South Africa. Excuse my poor geography. But Werner, come, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to receive what God has for us through you. Father, thank you that your word does not know barrier or boundary, and we choose not to put any barrier between ourselves and your word as it's given to us this morning through Werner. Thank you, God, for change within us and in the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Welcome, everyone. I love it to see like a whole lot of new faces. I don't have any clue what's going on in front of me. Like, is this people here for the first time this morning? First time visitors? Okay. All right. Kind of first time. And there's quite a lot of nationalities in here. What do we have here? About 5, 6 different... More than 10. Wow. That's awesome. I hope you understand me. This is my second language, so my E's and my R's will be swapped around. Another thing about me is, you know those type of movies where you need to switch your brain off to find it funny? I love those. So my humor is also maybe from another nationality. So I don't have that to help me today. So I only have the Holy Spirit to rely on, and that's awesome. I mean, I just want to just be silent for a moment and just pray, if you don't mind, and then we'll get into this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, your hand moves mountains, Father. You design and you form, and you give direction. Oh, Lord, you are a fortress, Lord. You are our rock that cannot be shaken, Lord. And this morning, Lord, we run to you for safety. And we run to you for hope and encouragement. And we just invite you, dear Spirit, just to come and work in any way that pleases you this morning. And we praise your name. Amen. I just want to start by just thanking David for having me. Now, David, we don't know each other like a whole lot. But I must tell you, since the first time I met David, he is one of the kindest people I've ever met. You're very kind, and your humility always comes to mind when I think of you, David. So I know that your congregation is blessed to have you, and I just want to honor you for that. Amen. You're a pastor that I would love to have with me on staff where I'm at. So, you guys are blessed with David, and thanks for having me. I haven't spent a lot of time with Sally, but she's always full of joy. And the children at the summit 1 year, and that was awesome. I remember thereby, it was the only Joanna that came with you. One time, I remember. Yeah, she was still small. In any case, awesome to come back and also see the progression. So what I want to do this morning is maybe a bit different. Instead of, if I have to paint a picture, this is not me so much coming guns out blazing and ministering to you. For me, this is more, it's a sermon / workshop. I want to inspire you to go and minister out there. So it causes me just to take a slight step back and almost want to trust the Holy Spirit to just slowly but surely work with your spirit and with your excitement when it comes to you being a minister and you ministering out there, and not so much you sitting and only receiving from me. Is that okay for everyone? Also afterwards, if you've got a question, please we can chat I don't know if everything is synced by Yaku, but am I seeing the small group leaders this week? I think on Tuesday. So I think we'll continue along these lines. But I know you'll be blessed by this. God is teaching me a lot of things, and I love sharing it. And let's join in our journey together. I've got a few photos that maybe I just want to show you so you get to know me better. That's my wife, Junae, and our little boy. He's a bit bigger now. He's about 8 months now. There, I think he was about 3 or something. So that's my family. There's a picture of our church. That's not church service. Don't worry. that's an outreach we have once a year. We just stack chairs and we just give food to friends that don't know the Lord. We just say, come over, we want to give you food, and we entertain them. We have a few funny things that happens on stage. We just get people into our building. It's us doing our thing. There's one of the rugby teams I played with. This is actually the Puma rugby team, which is like a small little region in South Africa. If you go on, there's our rugby fields where we actually take church to the rugby field. I'll be talking about that a bit today. That is my boy having a great meal on our lawn, you know, eating the soil and whatever. And that's our dog, River. She's a beast. And that's a few faces in our church having a church camp, not far from Secunda. Secunda is not a beautiful place. It's a mining town. So you've got a lot of flat areas, steam towers. I think it's the biggest plant in the southern hemisphere. Plant not being a tree, but you know, like all these factories letting out steam and stuff. So it's not pretty. So if you go about 100 kilometers, you start to find life and mountains. So we love to go. There's just a few people in our church, new member service we had one day. Next photo is just us playing rugby. Seeing we've got also summer rain in Secunda. So summer is from this time, just when your winter starts, start of our summer. And in the winter when we play a rugby union, all the grass, everything just freezes. So you get this yellowish grass. And there's our little dog. So yeah, there's something about my home. So I'm going to just throw a few photos on as we go. I've got a lot of notes here. I'm going to try and kind of just see what the Spirit wants to do with me. Luke 19 verse 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. This is something that's been burning on my heart since the first day I met the Lord. And I met the Lord when I was about 17 years old, and someone who played a big role in leading me to the Lord is Alistair. He comes from the same town as I, southern part of South Africa. And we went to the same res, and he really walked with me and introduced me to God in a very personal way. So I just want to honor you, Alistair. It was awesome days, and today we're still good friends. It's just amazing. Gave my heart to the Lord age 17, went to university, and there was two believers in our race. The one was Alistair, and the other one was a man Alistair prayed for, I think 2 years, 9 months to be saved. Alistair, so that prayer at the res, of one day of the week after lunch, and it was only Alistair. He was praying. And then Andres got saved, and then I came, and we were three. And then the three of us just like motivated each other, picked up momentum, and by the time Alistair left, there was a lot of people serving the Lord in that race. It just picked up momentum. So the Lord really used Alistair to start something there. It was really like a fire starter. Alistair and I was just blessed to be a part of that. I just knew God called me to stand up for His kingdom. So I used to be very unpopular in res at times because we would stand up for Christ and really challenge traditions in res. It's a big thing in South Africa. I don't know if it's so big here. It's you've got all these rituals people do to become kind of a resident, and we just confronted it. So I knew if I want to follow Christ, I must just I must get used to people looking at me and being mad at me and stuff like that. When I went to my first year of being a biokineticist, that's what I studied to be. It's like a physiotherapist. We're on the same page. I walked into the Sports Science Center in South Africa. That's where I worked. First day, by accident, I just took the shirt that was on top of my my closet. I just put it on, and it said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And I walked into the Sports Science Center, and there was a lot of people. And the one guy, who was a Muslim, became my friend. He said, "Oh, so you are religious?" And I just realized, oh, okay, I had the shirt on. And that was my first day. And I just said, guys, I'm not religious, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And some like looked at me like this. But I just knew God called me to stand up in weird places for Him. That's it. And I had to deal with that. So soon after that little confrontation, which was quite weird for me, some of the people came to me. So what church do you go to? Because I'm also new here and I want to be in a church. And then the church grows again. I just know when I stand for God and there's opposition, there's always... That's a seed sown. Those moments of opposition, and then there's always fruit. It comes at a cost. The cost is I must let my reputation go. The whole man-pleasing thing must die within me so that people can come to Christ. I've learned it from from an early age. We learned it in Res. It carried on in the sports science into where I worked, and it never stopped until now. So just quickly, let me see how I'll do this. Let's go on. So this is a thing that just want to quickly talk through this, and this changed my life as a minister. And if you love the Lord and you're at that place where you really want to reach out, this is very important to understand. If you get this, it will help you. This is more or less relational dynamics in church. You can picture it like that. Number one would be like the core. That will be David, Sally, and David, whoever is like really involved, catching your heart, walking with you centrally, and has been here for a while. When it comes to the church, they'll be the core. The committed will be those who, well, let me start from the outside here. If you go to number five, that's the community. Those are typical people that's within distance of coming to church. It will be possible for them to come, but they've never been here. All right, those are the people you live next to, you play with, you walk the dog with, whatever. And they are filled for evangelism, right? We're praying for them and we're trusting them to come. The moment they step into church, they're called the crowd. What that means is it doesn't mean that they're a Christian when they're here. It means that they experience the love of Lord, of the Lord through you at the front door, having coffee with you. They experience worship for the first time. They hear the word of God. So there's seeds being sown into their lives. All right. Then you've got the congregation. It's when you've said, listen, I've given my heart to the Lord and I want to be a part of the church of God, but also of this church. All right. That's our congregation. And then you get the committed, who's not just here, but they really start to contribute. Okay, very important. One and two is it's a big help for a pastor, and then you've got the call. Now, who are we talking about today? Five. That's where we're at. All right. And so, a question I ask myself over and over, and I try and live in that way to get more answers from God, is how do I build bridges from the community into the church? How do I open that door wide and be almost like an introducer constantly of the community? Come and see what the Lord is doing. Come and see. How does that work? Make sense? The question that David, that I ask myself also, and also for your small group leaders, at church, right now in this place, the next few weeks, who are we ministering to when we are doing this? All right? If we only minister to this group here, it'll be very difficult for us to reach those. So it's a question I ask myself over and over. As people come through the front door, will these people don't know the Lord, they don't have the love of and the grace of God in their heart already, can they come in here and experience His love? ask it over and over. Sometimes I need to switch my head off and just walk into church and ask myself, how's this? What is coming at me as I come? And I ask myself, if I want to reach these people, I must be geared for them. Okay, very important for me. It's changed the way I've preached, and the way I'm almost leading our small group leaders to do small group more and more. Andy Stanley, they've got a slogan. They say, we want to be a church for the unchurched. We want the unchurched to come in, and the gap that they need to jump over to meet Christ must not be too long. Okay? Of course, God works miracles. From our side, we want people to be able to grab onto Christ. All right? Make sense? Amen. So, this is more or less our church summed up. If we go to the next slide, well, what's the thing we do? Okay, so we've got amazing things. I mean, every pastor and shofar can really testify when it comes to our church being having our hands on amazing products from HQ. It's just amazing. We've got probably the best spiritual formation journey that I've seen in any church. But the thing is, the community, they don't walk in and participate in these things. Have you realized? We call Encounter One in our church. We call it Starting Point, because in Secunda they don't know what an encounter is. So it's too Afrikaans. So it's just called Starting Point. But you know, you can have Encounter One and be excited. They don't walk in. It's like, hey, we have an Encounter One. They're like, whatever. They walk past. They don't come to church stuff, right? Is it like that here? All right. So how are they going to get here? Okay, how am I? Something needs to happen so that the world can experience the love of Christ in here. Okay, and that's where I'm at in my mind the whole time, over and over. That's my next one. If we can see all this, like the arrow, if we can go to the next slide, there's massive growth that will happen in this place. Legacy, liberty, church services, worship. Amazing things can happen, but how do we get people in there? And it's evangelism, right? So let's talk about that today. What I believe is that we need to build bridges for the lost to come here. Sometimes it's just a bridge too far to say come to church. Sometimes we need to almost make a home with them out there and lead them closer to the Lord. Yes. The community or the lost is only a bridge away. I believe it with all my heart. And you know why I believe that is I know Jesus Christ loves the world so much that He's ready to save. I want to testify a bit more about the rugby and what I do there. But when I walk onto the field, I've got no doubt that there's people on that field and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's already done. It's there. All I'm doing there is I'm loving until they come. I don't have a doubt about that. But if I don't go there, they don't come to church. They'll never come to church, especially the rugby guys. So let's discover it a bit. I want to talk quickly about missional living. Missional living, that's just my definition, is living your life intentionally, and I think that's the key word there, so that your life is a mission for God's kingdom. It's a planning my life in such a way that the way I live, the roads I walk, is set up in such a way that the most people at any given moment can see my life for Christ. I need to be out there. I can't be everywhere, but I need to be somewhere positioned out there so the love of Christ can be seen through my life. Does that make sense? Okay. So, John 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen His glory, glorious of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And key word for me here is the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and it dwelt among us. It stayed with us. God's best plan was to come and to live next to humans. They could feel Him. They experienced Him. As He experienced temptations, they were there walking with Him, saw Him overcome, sleeping next to Him. seeing him full of joy, seeing him at times very serious in prayer. He was there. And he was not untouchable, but he was humble and reachable, right? And so my question is, how do I, as a heavenly citizen, someone who loves the Lord, really still dwell amongst those who don't know Christ in such a way that they can touch me and that they can constantly see me so that the love of Christ can be seen through me? Let me just see if I'm going to skip here for a while. When someone give, I know when I gave my heart to the Lord, I totally changed. Everything, I became a new creature. All right? And the same still happens today, right? There's people here, I believe, with amazing testimonies. The only thing is that people need to see that and taste that. Now, I've never won someone to Christ with an argument in my whole life. Even if I've proven them wrong and they've been, oh yeah, you're actually right, they still won't come to Christ because of an argument. Okay? Also, a conversation is not sufficient to put on display the absolute love I have for Christ. In one moment, 1 30-minute, for them to see how the love of Christ actually comes into my family and change the way I work with my wife, how I love my children. It's not enough. It's not enough. One conversation, one word of knowledge can do it, but it's not the plan God chose for us to go out and get one word of knowledge and come back. All right? It's to dwell. Look into my life. I give you permission to look in. Come and live next to me, or go and live next to the lost. We'll quickly get into that a bit more. So, the whole thing that we need to deal with is dwelling versus a knowledge invasion. Okay? Let me tell you about Christ is important, but let me show you how it looks in my life. Very important. So we visited two towns in the Himalayas last year. We were on missions there. Never, ever, ever heard about Christ. Haven't heard the name Jesus Christ. As the guy was translating, I don't even know how he pronounced it for them, how it felt on their ears. The sweetest name in the whole world for us. Never heard it. You go there and you start with creation. You know what? God created. And you tell the trees and you name the animals and they're like, wow, best story in the whole world. True story. And then the man did this and they were separated from God. And who sometimes feel alone? And the guy translates like, oh, I sometimes feel alone. Who sometimes feels scared? Oh, all the kids, hands up. A lot of older people. They come, the community. They say, hey, we've got some white people that wants to speak to you. And then everyone comes. It's just like that. And then they took Christ on a cross. And then as you tell the story, they're on the point of crying. No TVs, no television, no radios, no sensation that they are used to seeing on television. You tell the story as it is and it touched their hearts. One time, Peter Vermeulen, he was also on the stage, walked into the one town. They came running out, and one man had a dream that there was three white men that was going to come to the town and tell them who God is. And as they walked on, they ran out. So they're so ready. For us, it's so different. We live in a different world. The story, the knowledge of what God did, it's falling on deaf ears. The only way we have to touch this world is to live with and dwell with people. So the love of Christ can get validity. Is that a good word? Through our life, constantly. So, and it's also funny, like everyone, as I go to the rugby field, these guys, okay, listen, I love them to bits, so I can say this, but they live so far from God. But they know who's Joel Osteen. They know this one Christian guy that raps about love and stuff. They send me these things on the cell phone that I must watch. Okay? They don't know the Lord. They don't love Him. Knowledge. We are so filled with it. It's falling on deaf ears. So the preaching of the gospel and missional living is best received in the context of dwelling. can't get around it. Can't get around it. Where did the most people get saved in university? In the res. I sleep in the same room as you. I eat this at the same table as you. We play in the sport team together. And at night we have a chat before we go to bed. When we get to live with people, the love of Christ comes through like this. Most people in our church comes to the Lord. The moment is the rugby field, but also the houses where the single people moves in. As they move in from Cape Town or Joburg coming to Secunda, and there's maybe two open rooms in a house of church people, those are the people that meet the Lord first, dwell with them. A drop-and-go ministry doesn't work that well. Isn't it obvious, eh? But now we need to think in my heart, like, so what are the implications for me? We'll have a camp in 3 weeks back in South Africa. And my question is this, where will you be dwelling next year? Where will your intentional heart for the lost take you next week? We know you've got a job. If your job is of such that you really have, you need to find a dwelling within. Something needs to happen there. You need to start intentionally dwelling with those you work with. Get putting Christ on display through your heart. If you've got time, think about rugby, think about cricket, think about soccer, think about the choir, think about the chess, whatever you can think of, where you're going to dwell next year for the glory of Christ. Amen? Awesome. So the first thing is, preaching of the gospel best received in the context of dwelling. Now, I quickly want to address this thing of location. Sometimes we talk like, okay, we want to reach the people in our street, or we want to reach the people that lives next to us on close proximity. And what we've realized is that today, in especially like developed countries, what money has done is it's lifted us over and above communities that live in close proximity. Example, once again in the Himalayas, if someone makes a lot of food, you've got next door neighbors, 10 houses coming into one house. They literally dwell together because they live in close proximity. So when you have someone that meets the Lord there, the chance of them reaching the neighbors will be well. They share water, they share food, they share stories. We give them the gospel on a tape player or something like that, charges with sunlight. They come and they sit and listen. All right, for us it don't work like that. You might never know your neighbor. Who knows their neighbors this side, and that side behind them? Everyone. Okay, it's not common, right? It's not common. We live in a world with high walls. So I say, forget about reaching your neighborhood. Think about interest clusters. Where do the people go? If there's a park and the same people's in the park every day, that's your evangelism place. The park, not your next door neighbor. Because he's going to another park. All right? Next door neighbor, maybe I'm going a bit too far, because your next door neighbor you could get close to by, hey, can you collect something for me, or can I quickly give your dog food when you're away? So next door may work, but when it comes to street and area, forget about it. It's my opinion. Now I go to the rugby field, there's someone that drives 50 kilometers to be there because they want to be there. They'll come to the Lord quicker than the person that lives two houses from me. Make sense? Interest clusters. So I've got this thing that I call evangelistic economics. Like, how can I spend only 2 hours a week with the most people that don't know the Lord? And for me, that's a rugby field, right? That's Tuesday, 50 people. Thursday, 50 people. Saturday, 50 people, game day. 3 hours a week, or a bit more. 70 practices a year. Okay, that's 70 hours. In close proximity with them, sharing something, passing to one another, high-fiving, well done. Okay? Game day, there's a huddle. So if I can only go there 2 times a week in season, then I've got my cluster of interest. I don't care if they live next to me or far. They will be at the field. They want to play ragas. Make sense? Lord, how do you want to show your light? I remember in the beginning, I'm like praying, Lord, I don't want to run ahead of myself. And I was so overwhelmed. At the same time, excited. Went to the rugby field. I weighed 78 kilograms. I was 3 kilograms heavier than Alistair. Now he is lean. Because I did all those stuff in South Africa with the mountain bike going over the mountains. God said, now go and play rugby in Sukuna. Picked up 24 kgs. Drank a lot of protein shakes, a lot of gym work, just so that I could get back on the rugby field. First day, there's 55 people I've never met, never seen in my life. Something in me gets excited. I'm like, Lord, look at the possibilities. You can change lives. Something on the other side. You're just one person and you're new here. And I've got this war in my heart between being so excited. And what if nothing happens? Because I know leading up to the rugby, there was something in my heart going to the Sukuna. Because that happened as we moved. The same day we arrived. No clothes, no furniture. I'm on the rugby field already. All right. I'm like, Lord, this is a defining time of my life where I need to experience myself being a missionary for you, seeing life change. If it can't happen out there, Lord, I'm going to get a knock here. For me, it was life or death for the rest of my life in ministry. If I was going to play for 1 year and I didn't see lives change, I would have lost my boldness behind the pulpit. I think so, just for me. I am a bit more evangelistic, so I want to see God work through me that way. So I just, it was just crossroads for me, and God was just so faithful. Are you still with me today? Okay. Now, money steals our community when it comes to close proximity, but God always makes a way. People wants to do things with their money, so. And they come together. Let's go there. Don't start the shofar London running club. Bad move. Go join the biggest running club there is. You don't have to send the emails. You don't have to design the little postcards. Just go and pay the fee to be a part and jog with the people. Easy. Your testimony starts to come through. You're always there. You're faithful. You've got respect for the rules. Next year, they ask, do you want to be a part of our governing body? That's what happened to me. Now you start to send out the emails at the bottom. God bless you. Remember the race. You will do it. I can do all things through Christ. Use the scripture. Okay. like we've changed that club around. With the help of a few other people, we changed our IP club from being a place where there was a lot of women coming to pick up men. Total unfriendly place to bring your kids to a family club. And we've done better. We've done so well. We're playing all over South Africa this year. Flying by SA Rugby. Okay. When God takes hold of our community through us, He also blesses it. Go to the running club or the soccer club or whatever there is. Don't start a shofar thing. It's stupid. They didn't tell Mbosh. I told them it's going to be stupid. It didn't work. Now you've got a shofar jersey on. Whole gospel to the whole world. Who's going to join that club? If you're not a Christian. I'm like, I can't wear this thing. I don't even know what it means. Passion for people, all those things. People to serve. Passion for Jesus. Nice jersey for me to have, but not a good one to join the lost. Make sense? We need to think. We're dealing here with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I go on missions, great jersey. Want to be a missionary in our town, bad jersey. Right? Make sense? We need to think about number 5. Awesome. Number 2 makes sense, guys? Awesome. Changed my life. Still is every day. Now, missional living, let me just read number 3, happens not by mistake, but with planning and positions you for divine appointments and moments. Now, okay. So, who have done SOS? Have they done it yet? And okay, so basically with SOS and especially moving in the prophetic, we are often encouraged to go and bring a word. You know, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing. To practice having our ears open in public. Does God have a word for someone here? Sometimes we'll go into a place, especially if we give ourselves to God in that way. I'm not there yet, I'll be honest. But people will go in, some people in our church or especially see us, they'll go in and, oh, they've got a pain in their back. And they're like, okay, whoa, just stop everything. Who's got back pain? And then someone gets miraculously healed. Great. That's God working. And He can change lives through that. Sometimes we think that's how we must evangelize. We just like go around our life. Maybe there's a pain here, a pain there. Someone gets healed. That is great. We must not discard that. But that is not missional living. That's a divine moment. That's one dot on your life. All right? What I've discovered is if I'm planted in a place, for example, the rugby, and for you it can be whatever interest cluster you can engage in. If I'm planted there, I get all these divine appointments and they actually join the church and get saved. Because I don't walk this way and they go that way and never see them again. Right? Also, my testimony is bearing fruit in their midst for 2 years now. They know. I didn't just write on Facebook one day because they do it in Sukuna, a big thing. Oh, I can do all things through Christ. Next picture, I'll post something with myself without clothes. Okay? Weirdest thing. I don't understand it. I'm not trying to. My brain is too small. But now after 2 years, they know I really love the Lord. So when there's trouble at home, they come to me. There's a divine appointment, they come to the church. Because I'm firstly divinely positioned in life. Add to that, hey, is someone here in the changing room got back pain? Yes, Vanna. Yeah, I've got a problem. We pray I get healed. It's built on the fact that I've been dwelling with them for 2 years. We not only have a moment, we've got discipleship that starts to happen. Make sense? Missional living doesn't happen by mistake. Awesome. So I want to just tell you a few stories. I'm going to show you a few pictures also as we go on. So I'm going onto the rugby field, and I'm a bit scared, but I'm kind of switched on. I'm prayed up. I'm going. So there's one guy, he's in charge. He's a player, but he's making the jokes. Listen, also words you won't hear in Bible school. there's no way. But he's joking, and I just find myself, as the people just laughing at his jokes, without thinking, I'm just scanning the environment. Who's laughing? Who finds this effective? Who's the object of the joke? You know, and I'm seeing this guy. He's like the guy, okay? He's got a tattoo on his arm. So I walk past him and I'm like, what? I can do all things through Christ. That's what is on his arm. At that moment, swearing in a fashion that you won't believe, all right? So obviously, I'm like, okay, this guy, he was very sentimental, or he knew the Lord and backslide or something. Sees him in the gym the next day. Now, I know what this tattoo says, okay? So his tattoo is like he's got one of these sleeve tops on. And I go to him, his name is Kurs. I say, Kurs, what's that tattoo? What's there on your arm? I know exactly what's on his arm. I'm just like trying to, I want him to say out of his mouth, what's on my arm is, I can do all things through Christ. And I want him to say the name of the Lord. I want him to say it and feel it and experience that sweet name. All right? And he says, yo, I can do all things through Christ. I got it when my baby boy was being prayed for. What do we call it? Consecrated. Dedication. Baby consecration. I was like, wow, you've got a family. It must be awesome being a dad. And he's like, yo, the only problem is my wife moved out, took my boy, and I miss him every day. How does it happen? He says, now I've got a drinking problem. I want to do things right, but I've got no one to walk with me the way of the Lord. And the guys at the rugby club, they're just pulling me down. I experienced him being the main instigator, but I said, you know what? I'm actually a pastor. I'm just a normal guy. That's my trick. I'm just like you. Do you want to meet with me once a week? Because I see, now this is me building a bridge. This guy, I can see he's been hurt in church. I'm not going to invite him to church immediately. I said, do you want to sit with me once a week over lunch? Only you and me. He said, that would be amazing. Only the two of us. I said, only the two of us. But there's one thing we're going to do. We want to move forward. You want to get your family back? He said, That's what I want to do. I want to have my wife back. I want to have my son. I wake up in the morning, I want to play with him. He's not there. And I just cry. So I say, okay. Now that's, for example, Tuesday. I say, next Tuesday we meet. But on one condition, you read the book of 1 John this week. And I will read it as well. And as I read it, I'm going to make my little notes. Every chapter by chapter, and you must make your notes. But you're not allowed to read it all at once the night before, all right? You must read one chapter a day, okay? And he says, deal. So he comes back next week, and this guy has almost rewritten the whole 1 John. Because God now is speaking, the Word of God is living. I know he won't come to church. If I can just get him to open the Bible and read it with the intention of telling me what he read, I know he will change. Next week, 1 Peter. All those books, 5 chapters, 6 chapters, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians. Not the 2 Thessalonians and the 2 Peters, too short. Week 4. When is church, Werner? I want to come. I said, come. Came to church, never left. Building a bridge. I knew church was a step too far for him. I would have lost him there. So I took it close. I said, I will sit with you over lunch. Make sense? So there's also some people that came to me, rugby place, and said, this is what happened. Da-da-da. I knew the Lord, backslid. For 2 years now, my wife and I, we're not worshiping God. We want to come back, come to church. They come and they slot in. Different people. So the Holy Spirit must show me how to work with different types of people. I would think, I don't want to make assumptions, that you must take like kilometers in South Africa, miles here, okay? So do that with my heart here. I know it's different. I know in South Africa we've got a big culture of church. So someone that doesn't know the Lord will also post something on Facebook about how great God is. Fathom that. It's just how it works. But I would guess this is typically a place where you need to take that step to church out there just a bit closer. Just come and have coffee with me. Hey, just come and have dinner at our home. Almost just leave it there. Leave it there. And then church is not a bridge too far. Hey, I'm the guy preaching, if you're David. I'm the guy preaching and you've ate with me and we've had a good time. So I sense that you trust me. And I'll say, yes. So come. It's only me. Make sense? Awesome. Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. God is good. I'm sorry this is not your typical sermon, but I hope it helps. It's what I have to give today. And I feel you have amazing pastors that preach out of the Word. And so I'm taking the liberty to do something different. Looks like you're okay with it. You don't have a choice. Also want to say what's very important here. And actually, when I prayed last night for you guys, the word I felt was synergy. Just coming together with your giftings. What happens is my wife is not so good at just engaging new people. Okay, I just walk up and I have a great time. That's why going to the rugby club and there's 60 guys is more exciting to me than daunting. Okay, it's almost like it gets me adrenaline, but I want to do it. All right, my wife is a bit more reserved, but when those rugby players come with their wives to our home, then they'll never leave again. They don't want to go. They love my wife. They sit. They'll go and look at the baby room and never come out for the rest of the evening. Okay, I don't know what they're doing in there, practicing to change nappies or what, but. Because they're meeting someone that loves them, even in her own way, which is different. So in our family, I'm the fetcher, and she's the hoster. Works well together. But in this church, even between different families, you might have a family that's good at fetching. Let's take, for example, Alistair and Marika. Let's say they connect well, but you have another family that feels like, hey, we're not really making a difference because we don't connect that well. But you need to have synergy because get to their house because they can't disciple everyone they connect with. Because a connector, they connect like this. And they actually sometimes leave people hanging. I'm like a bit like that. And people get offended with me. I get a WhatsApp. I'm like, and they're like, you never have coffee with me anymore. And does it mean you don't love me anymore? I'm like, no, it's just difficult because I'm already on a new batch. okay? I love people, so just excuse my... let's just use that as an excuse. If I say something that sounds offensive, it's only because English is not my first language. Is that okay? Okay. I'm already busy connecting at another place. I need people to come and almost be... Let me bring them into the hospital. Now you take care of them. And we can figure out how to send them out again. Okay? So don't feel bad if you say, hey, we're super shy. But we love actually having people in our home. We love blessing people with baking a cake and coffee. So can we like join you guys next time when you invite someone? And we'll bring the stuff. Okay? You see where I'm heading at. Partners in the kingdom. Works very well. Works very well. Strategic lightning is a term we use in our church. It's living or practicing a life of systematically and purposefully and with consistency putting your life on display to be seen and evaluated by unbelievers. It's a vulnerable place also. It's a vulnerable place. But I just know when it comes to putting myself out there as an evangelist, it's like... You know those roads the animals walk on these game farms? You can see this is where they walk, like in between the bushes. Now, it's almost like that. I need to walk the same weekly routine with the same people so that they see me Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. See me. Hey, they pray before every practice, after every practice, even when I got there. And I thought at that time maybe there's one person that knew the Lord. So guess who's praying now? Always asking me. So I'm like, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are filling the lives. I don't pray for the game. I'm just like always just opening hearts. And then they're like afterwards, amen. You know, but now the prayer has developed because I'm there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Works like a bomb. It's better. Please hear me. Put it in context for yourself. It's better than going and scattering seed. I am plowing the ground. I'm putting the seat exactly where I want it to be, and tomorrow I'm there looking. Okay? Awesome. So yeah, it's just a little picture to next one to just to. This is how we think. We need. This is the most difficult part. Most difficult part. There's a growing that will happen once people are here. I can see you guys really growing. Amazing things happening here. We have got Bible school and encounters to take people all the way up. But this is difficult. Okay. I quickly want to talk about that a bit. Just, I think I've got four lessons that I've learned in Secunda when it comes to discipleship. I'm skipping a lot of stuff. I'm just having a good time here, amen? Who's having a good time? Great. Okay. The first thing I've learned is for Secunda is we need to build friendship or church around evangelism habits or evangelism keystone habits. It's a word one of a church leader also uses in America. And what he says is this. He says, a keystone habit is a habit or a way of thinking that if we all do this, right, with our hearts and we buy into this habit, it actually flows out to different other areas. An example of that would be a family eating around a dinner table every evening. So the habit itself is we eating. What comes out of it is we are talking, we are comforting one another, we are celebrating one another, we are managing our budget, we are learning how to make food. Okay, so eating together has many other effects, right? You see what I'm getting at? So for us, a keystone habit in Secunda is get an unbeliever around the table. Get someone around a table at lunch, at your home. That table can be church. Get someone there. So what that means is when we pray, this keystone habit is constantly in our mind. We're constantly praying for the lost. When we walk into church, all of us take church personally in the sense that my Keystone Habit is I have someone around the table. They might come tonight. How's this place look? Oh, I just pick up that paper quickly. The cups. Let me just sit. I'm thinking, because I'm constantly thinking, I want something, someone around the table. This whole process of that person maybe coming through the door affects the way I think. Also, if someone new is, I'm like, oh, that can be a person that David has been praying for 6 months, and now David's not here. Let me go and greet that person, because that might be his heart just standing right there. And so this will be different for us than for you, but this is a good thing to think about in our small groups, is where do we want to go? Make sense? Yeah, helping us a lot. Hey, we're learning. Second point, seeds grows at different speeds. All right. Now, let me tell you what. When I came to Secunda, I went to the rugby field, I'm using the rugby a lot because I want you to think about what your place could be and just interpolate it for yourself. Hopefully, it's not like a belly dancing class or something. Please, that won't work as well. So we play one game, and I hear this one guy say to the other guy, don't worry, guy. You had a good first half. God is with you. God is with you. And he's like, okay. He's now like referencing God. So afterwards, I go to him. I'm like, yeah, I hear that you actually talk about God on the field. That's so awesome. Yeah, you know, God, he gives us talents and stuff like that. That's a big South African thing. Okay. Don't you want to come to church? I'm preaching tomorrow night, and I'm standing there with my dirty body, and they're like, they can touch me. Okay, I'm close to them. I've just played with them. They're like, sure, come. Three guys come. That is after the first game. No breakthrough before the first game, because that game was that thing where we really stood there and where this whole momentum picked up. So busy morning, eh? Okay. Three people come to church. The Sunday, hands in the air, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Afterwards, we want to join small group, and this is so awesome. Never saw them again. Till today, 2 years later, those first three people. So I ready my small group. I'm like, guys, there's three rugby players coming now. Remember, this is how we approach this. They're coming. This is new to them. Everyone's like, yes, hallelujah, amen. No one pitches. I'm like, Lord, what am I doing on the rugby field? It's now around about a month after I'm wasting my time. Are we doing stuff wrong? Is there something wrong with our band? Is there something wrong with me? Should we preach in Afrikaans, not English? What's going on? I really feel like a failure. I've got a book with all the names that I can remember from the rugby field. So it was quite a lot. And so I pray through those names every day. And God just said, no, go back. Go and enjoy the rugby. At least I like playing it, so it helps me a lot. Then happened that thing. Let's go to the next picture. I just put a face. This is Chris. He's the one whose wife moved out. He is the fastest man probably in a whole couple of towns. He's a good rugby player. Plays sevens for Mpumalanga at nationals level. He's a very good player. That happened about 2 months after praying every day. My other friend, I don't have a picture of him, Nils. Same time. So now we're playing in Nigel. Nigel is about 100 kilometers from us. And the club is, they're giving us a, that's a town, Nigel. The club gives us a bus. But now I realize Nils, he always gives his phone to coach during practices. And I picked up it's because his wife was highly pregnant. So I'm like, okay, God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get that guy in my car for 2 hours. All the way there, all the way back. I go to Nils. I say, Nils, you like it? That's how's it. I've got a great plan. Your wife is pregnant. My wife is alone at home. She loves me. She loves me when I come back early. How about we take my car, we leave the bus, because after the game, the guys are all like first doing a few beers. We just get in the car, we come home. I know your wife's highly pregnant. He says, that is just an amazing plan. So I get him in my car. And I'm just blessing him all the way there. Like, yes, Niels, you're such a good player. Where did you play before? And he is a good player. I'm not lying. And so tell me about your marriage. And he's just slowly opening up. Nothing. Play the game. Come back. On the way back, he's like, yo, you know what? Because now, these guys work long hours. It's probably been, he's probably never sat down for an hour and chatted with a man. He works long hours, and even if there's a Brian stuff, he's chatting to 20 people. So he's now, for him, it feels like we've been friends for a long time. Same night, so comes back, he says, my wife's really mad at me. I like to watch movies like Twilight, and she says it brings demons into the house. What do you think? I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you know, but I'm a pastor. Let's talk about it. He's like, yo, what do you think? Talk. When at home, he said, I will be at church on Sunday and I'll bring my wife. They came first Sunday, gave their heart to the Lord, never looked back. That's 2 to 3 months after I started playing. Okay? After those first three guys came and left me. So now suddenly there's momentum. There's Chris and there's Neil. Now there's two guys. Now the guys that came that first evening, they, I've learned now, are, you can't trust those guys still today. They're really not actually the people that adds a lot of momentum right now. God must first do a lot of work. These guys were the leaders on the field. God gave me the best. They're the best players. They're the leaders. People look up to them. God gave me the two strongest players. Next picture. This man, where seeds grows at different speeds. This one, Rudy, here. After practice, he always mentioned something. That's last year. Oh, you know, my fiance has got a bit of depression, but everything will be okay. And then he goes home. And I'm obviously just, I'm switched on at rugby. Okay. At home, I'm just making jokes. I like Adam Sandler movies, okay? So I'm a lot of the time switched off. Here, I'm switched on. After the fifth time, I was like, Rudy, listen, what's going on with your fiance? Yes, long story. It opens up. Same thing. I say, once a week, you and me. That sounds amazing. Gives his heart to the Lord. Responds to God. And he's living with his fiance. I'm like, okay, ready? Week number 5, he comes to me. I wanted to address it by the second week. I said, listen, you want God to bless you, move out. I said, Lord, let me give him a few more weeks. I'm just going to give him the word. Only going to give him the word. Let's see what you show him. He comes to me week 5. We're only doing it for 6 weeks. Okay, sitting and working for scripture. He says, Vanna, there's a problem. I'm living with my fiance. And I read the Bible. It's not right. I'm like, you're dead right. But now he's telling it to me. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I said, so what you do is, you go to her. You tell her you love her. You care for her. You really, really, if you really see a future with her, you want to do it God's way. He says, that's what I'm going to do. Last year, October, never saw him again. The decision was too big. Christ, living together with my fiance. 6 months later, he pitches up at church, out of nowhere. He says, I moved out with my girlfriend. I'm at church, went cell, and went missions. Buddy, missions in 2 weeks, no problem. Organizing, we send him on missions. No encounter, one, nothing. Go. Serving the Lord. He is, of all the locals, and there's a lot in church now, he's going to be a pastor. Seeds grows at different speeds. I don't know what happened in those 6 months. I didn't hear from him. He didn't reply. He dodged me. He was probably in his heart counting the cost. Am I going to follow God? Am I going to follow God? But there's a problem. There's someone with me in bed here. Okay, every night worrying, and then he made a decision. If I gave up on the guys and didn't go back, would he have come? I love that one. It's got a special place in my heart. Seeds grow at a different speed, guys. Be patient. Amen? Does it help? Don't give up, okay? Don't give up. You're making a difference. It's just in the spirit now. But the scales will tip. All right? Get out there. Number 3, in evangelism, God may take a long time to act suddenly. Be positioned when he acts. Okay? I said this again. When I play rugby, it's 70 practices, 16 games, and extra socials. And I'm always there. I make sure I'm now a senior player in the team, captain the team often. I make sure I pick up the last stuff on the field. I close that party down. I'm the last one to go home. They know I'm there. I'm there. This guy, I'm talking about positioning because God may take a long time to act suddenly. If you go to the next slide, his name is Renier. Played with me last year. Didn't play this year. He played only 2 games with me because he works 150, 200 meters underground. He's a miner. They work. They don't know when it's day or night. Okay, they're under the ground. For them, it always looks the same. But he works really long hours. This year, about 3 months back, we had a bachelor party. One of the rugby guys. Listen, do you think I want to be there? Okay. Now, I don't know how you do. Do you have something like bachelor parties here? Right. I don't know a lot about the UK. I only know The Apprentice. Lord Sugar. Who watches that? This is not a game. This is a job interview from hell. All right. Hala. Lord Sugar is my UK reference. Any case. Why did I say that? I don't know. Can someone take me to Medium? Oh. Do we have that context, Dave? We're almost done. Don't lose me here. This guy, he's at the same bachelor party. So they're doing this thing. Everyone gets a chance to say something. All right. Now, there's 3 believers and there's 20 people giving their input. So the one guy says, you know why? This is his advice now to the guy that's going to get married the next week. Do you know why divorce is so expensive? And he says, no, I don't know. He says, because it's so worth it. Now, of course, it's a joke, but that's what's getting said. Okay? And so when it comes to me, now I'm mad. I'm like, okay. This guy now, in the meantime, is also in church, the bachelor, I'm saying. Listen, his name is Zon. Zon, when you take advice from people for your marriage, do yourself a favor and look at their marriage. Because now I know a lot of these guys, they're 50 and divorced. Okay? So I was a bit ugly there, but I had to say it. Sorry. Forgive me. God forgave me for that. But then I went over and I said, God, Zon, God really has a plan for your life. So all I said, and He wants to give you your identity. Make God your friend. He will show you who you are and He will give you friends that will always support you in your marriage. All I said. This guy messaged me. Okay, he was apparently very drunk that evening because they took a bottle and threw it through a roof. I don't know how they did that. They do weird things, which I won't elaborate on because it's not. You'll never allow me back here. Who's got WhatsApp? Okay, do you know that when you get a photo, your phone like stores it somewhere else as well? I've got photos from the rugby group on my phone that they will fire me if they see that photos on my phone because I'm a pastor. I didn't post them. It gets posted to the rugby group. And then what happens is it's on my phone. So I must sometimes like delete pornography off my phone, all the rugby players. Any case, this guy phones me. He says, you said something at the bachelor's. Changed my heart. I want to come to church tomorrow night. Came to church, came to cell, never stopped. 8 weeks later. God just acted. I did nothing. I didn't go. Those words from the bachelors were just testifying. Seed was just testifying. And he's the other guy that's going to be a pastor. The two that joined latest is growing the fastest. That's just why she's pregnant now. I don't know how God works. All I know is He knew me because of 2 rugby games. And He knew I was still playing. Be positioned out there. And patience is so important. Patience, patience. Luckily, do something out there that you enjoy so that while God is working, that you can at least enjoy that. This is a tip from me. I like to have fun. Does it make sense? Last thing I want to say today is one heart equals many hearts. If you can reach one person for Christ, one, you open a door. You don't know what's behind that person. I always say at the rugby club, if you reach one player, you reach 5 people because they each have like 4 girlfriends. So church grows like this. You have some stuff to sort out pastorally. But like it's a joke. Maybe not 4, but you know, someone comes to church and you see another local on the other side, like want to hide behind the curtains because of histories and stuff. But we'll take it, Lord. We'll deal with it. We have a lot of things on forgiveness in our church. One man got saved, married, and they had issues with their parents. So his parent, who doesn't know me that well, knows I'm his pastor, phones me and say, Vanna, can we have coffee? We'll invite my son and his wife, and then I will come with my wife, and please be a facilitator for us in our conflict. I said, no problem. Now, he got saved, brought his wife. Now I'm sitting and facilitating God's heart with his dad and his mom. One heart. God wants to use you guys. Who's excited? He must be. It's just amazing to see him move. And I just want to say this. When you think of a place to join, to live your life strategically, know that, and I must believe this to cope, all right? God's role in saving people and his hand in saving people is big. Your role is small. Take the pressure off your shoulders. I walk onto the rugby field and I say, Lord, there's people here, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus says, every sheep that is mine will come to me. Where am I fitting in? I don't always exactly know, but I'm there. They're there, I'm there, you do a thing. Sometimes it happens fast. They break your heart, eh? Pray for those people that have broken my heart. They come to church, I see God touching. I know what's going on in their home, I never see them again. Breaks my heart in pieces. But I have to be positive. And it's easier for us to see what's wrong than what's going great. Okay. Always be positive. God is working. Sometimes God takes someone away out of church, and when they come back, they're ready. They go on mission. Don't understand it. Don't have a clue. That's not my job to figure it out. I want to be there and I want to love. I just want to encourage you. You've got everything you need to change this place. And I've really enjoyed it here this morning. You're a great bunch of people. Especially when you've got family in here that's so precious. It makes it easier. Because you know you never have to hesitate to bring someone here. Because they will always have love here. Can we stand and just pray and ask God to do something? Oh Lord, you are everywhere. And even in this church, Lord, you are bringing people together from different places. How wondrous your works, Lord. How mysterious your ways. Oh Lord, I get lost, Lord, in how you love and how you work. But you do it. And my prayer, Lord, this morning is that the great and amazing work that you're doing in this church, in here, that it will come to its full purpose as it feeds more people out there. So I pray for a very special anointing just to build bridges from our workplace, from our social circles, from places where people will place themselves strategically, maybe next level. We will build bridges. Not to show for them the kingdom of God being expressed in this world. There's love in this place, the capacity to love a lot of people. I just want to pray for one group. Thank you. awesome. There's a desire in us to see you through us. There's a desire in us to experience you, use us, and you introducing more people to you. I pray that every hand is up right now, that the anointing from heaven will fall on them. The anointing from heaven will come and fill their spirit, give them hope and drive and excitement. As I just said that word, I just felt the word excitement is something that God wants to come and give me. Excitement with God. Excitement to see you. One heart change. Thanks to you. Lord, you do the word. For your people, Lord, the desire that you work is to give us the desires to work in you. You do that, Lord.
We will follow you.